Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM. Rapids and the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. It's the Gym Class taking you through the 3 o'clock hour, getting your local programming block underway here on KGYM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today. Getting you ready for Game 2 of the World Series coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. The Red Sox winning last night, doubling up the L.A. Dodgers and taking a one game, it's not games, it's only played one, back to your commentary yesterday, one game to none lead in the best of seven series. And game two comes up tonight. We'll have it for you at 7 o'clock on all three of our frequencies, 1600 AM, 107.5, and 106.3 FM. Last night, we expected a pitcher's duel, Mark. We got offense last night at Fenway Park.
Yeah, it was undelivered. Clayton Kershaw and Chris Sale. Kershaw, I think, struggled more than Sale. Kershaw's got issues, I think. He's trying to correct his mechanics, and he just wasn't good.
Come on, according to Fox, he was throwing 96, 97 miles per hour.
That radar gun's a different story, right?
I think it's a little hot. Eovaldi's throwing 101.
Questionable. At any rate, Boston was very good. Eduardo Nunez put it away with the three-run homer, and this could get ugly for the Dodgers. Do the Dodgers need to win tonight?
Yeah, let us know. 319-366-1600, one of the things we'll be discussing here today. We both picked the Red Sox to win.
Mm-hmm.
I think most everyone is taking the Red Sox at this point, but we'll see how it plays out. Pivotal game early on coming up tonight in this one. As the Red Sox look for the 2-0 lead, David Price on the mound after closing out the Houston Astros. So he will try to go for two quality starts.
He was very good
in
that game. Yeah,
yeah, he was. He was. Ryu will be on the mound for the Dodgers coming up tonight. And again, we'll have it for you at 7 o'clock. News of the day, though, coincides with our guest that'll be coming up in about 10 minutes or so, Kevin Lehman. He's actually will be joining us from Big 12 Media Day for men's basketball. And all eyes now, as soon as the jury and their verdict was read, many folks sought out Bill Self, the Kansas coach, found him, surrounded him. Bill Self, of course, saying, "We will not have a comment until I talk with the university officials," and that will be later on today. But, Mark, the news of the day is that the latest jury in the college basketball corruption trials, for lack of a better word, came back today, and guilty to the three defendants.
Right. This happened in Manhattan federal court. The government had accused former Adidas executive, a business manager and the director of amateur leagues, in a scheme that funneled tens of thousands of dollars in secret payments to the families of college basketball prospects so those prospects would commit to Adidas-sponsored schools. And the verdict found in favor of the government, saying that colleges were the victims.
I'm not buying that
hard to swallow. But I wouldn't say Bill Self and Kansas were exonerated right now, but it was not a loss or a stain for Kansas just yet. There's two more trials to come and perhaps an NCAA investigation after that. So this is far from over. Insiders believe the trial in April will be perhaps more damaging to the colleges. But at this point, we've got the verdict in. And we'll talk with Kevin Lehman as to how he interprets it.
Yeah, we will do that coming up here in just a little bit. But the defendants, as you mentioned, all from Adidas. And, of course, one of the players, two of them actually, play for Kansas. And another one they talked about was Bowen, who played for Louisville, and Rick Pitino. Of course, Rick Pitino not there. And is it a situation where the coaches knew about it? Is it a situation where the schools knew about it? I cannot imagine a scenario where all this was taking place with the shoe company that you are aligned with and as a staff or as a program, you had no idea that this was happening, especially when you are in a heated recruiting battle for a guy like DeSilvo for Kansas, Bowen for Louisville, and you had no idea that this was happening. I just, to call the university basketball programs victims in this thing, I think is ludicrous, to be honest with you.
Well, in the midst of this pay-for-play, the accusations, Kansas and Bill Self have decided to sit sophomore forward Silvio D'Souza, who was involved in this trial from a standpoint of accusations, receiving money from Adidas and whatnot. He's going to, according to Kansas, the school says it will evaluate and understand what it's learning during this first federal trial that just wrapped up. And apparently D'Souza will sit for an unspecified period of time.
Kansas has come out with a statement now. During the trial, this is the statement that Kansas has come out with. During the trial, information was presented regarding a former KU student athlete, a current KU student athlete, and KU men's basketball coaches. Some of the information we were aware of and some is new to us. The new information needs to be evaluated and understood. We have already been in contact with the NCAA regarding trial developments and will continue to work with NCAA staff moving forward. Two additional federal trials are set for February and April 2019. Thus, we remain unable to fully comment on the issues before us. By limiting our comments, we are able to protect the integrity of the federal matters and the work of the NCAA. While that work continues, we remain fully supportive of our student athletes, our coaches, and our men's basketball program. Coach Self and Kansas Athletics are committed to maintaining a culture of compliance, and we will continue these efforts. Kansas Athletics has been and will continue to be committed to excellence and integrity.
Well Except done. On the football field.
Well done. Rock chalk. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to comment. The gist of this, Mark, is that this trial is not going to be... The damning trial is not going to be done till April. Basketball season is going to be basically... Well, gets done April 1st, April 2nd, right in there. So there's not going to be anything this season that is going to change as far as the programs that have been talked about, the Kansases, the Louisvilles, people like that. It's going to remain, for the most part, business as usual.
At least at this point, yeah.
This year. Now, is that going to be different next year? I think that is going to be the case with the FBI kind of leading the way and holding the flag as far as this charge into college basketball is concerned.
This is really deep, I think, and the layers are about as many as college basketball programs that have aligned to shoe companies. I don't know what that number is. There's, you know, how many shoe companies are there? Adidas, Nike.
Under Armour. Well, that's more of a clothing company.
But it's pretty deep, I think.
Very deep. 319-366-1600. Yeah, if you would like to weigh in, again, that's 319-366-1600. That is Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertina Stocker Jewelers located on the Penn Mall in Iowa City. And by the way, we are presented once again today by Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Stop on by. We're going to talk to Kevin Lehman coming up in just a few minutes. Also going to talk to Chris Liss of RotoWire.com. Bowling Night in America preview also coming your way.
But of course.
Today, since it is a Wednesday, and since Gary Dolphin is waiting with bated breath to have his Bowling Night in America preview, as we learned yesterday.
We did.
From the play-by-play voice of the Hawkeyes. And again, if you missed that, you can check out our podcast at KGYMRadio.com about that. What else? The basketball thing has kind of taken center stage here today. And I know Mike Krzyzewski was asked about it today, and he said he believes this will be good for college basketball in the long run. I think it also will be good for college basketball in the long run, but college basketball is going to take its lumps. And college basketball has already taken quite a few lumps. As far throw March away, because March is a whole different animal because of the, let's face it, the office pools, the interest, Cinderella, whatever the case may be. But other than that, the first 3 months of college basketball is not nearly what it used to be back before high school kids could go directly to the NBA, before the one and dones. There are so many problems facing college basketball. You've got this going on, the corruption trials. What direction is the NBA and the NCAA going to do? Are they going to get rid of the one and done situation? Are they going to allow high school kids to go back to the NBA only once? And then if you go to school, you're going to have to stay there 2 or 3 years like it is in NCAA football. I mean, there's so many questions facing NCAA college basketball right now.
Well, I think in the light of the G League's decision to offer contracts at $125,000 for those players 18 years or older to go into the league, get their apprenticeship, so to speak, and I think that will have some impact on what the NCAA might do. In terms of this pay-for-play, something clearly has to be done with the shoe companies and their operatives. You know, maybe the shoe companies do a good thing
and the
for colleges.
AAU circuits.
Yeah, and AAU is a nobody's a member of the Amateur Athletic Union. That's
not a lot amateur about this.
I think
it?
They call that a colloquialism.
Now, I will say this. For the most part, we're talking about, you know, big city organizations, AAU. Talking about New York City.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about major metropolitan areas. Not that we don't have our own problems here in the state of Iowa, but, you know, we're talking about New York City. We're talking about East Coast, Washington, whatever the case may be. But I'd like to comment. Love to hear from you. We're going to talk to Kevin Lehman about this. 319-366-1600, by the way, the text line.
Text can be good for Chris Liss, as usual, but that's down the road a little bit here.
Save it for 15 minutes or so.
Ryan from Walford, instead of scholarships for school, give the athletes a check. They can use it as they please and pay it back as most normal students do. A lot of these payments go towards helping families who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Find a way to make it work. It's not rocket science. Well, who pays for the scholarship
Ryan? Much like we talked about on Monday with, you know, it's apples and oranges a little bit, but the high school football playoff system. How do you come up with a perfect system? You don't come up with a perfect system. There's no perfect system as far as college basketball, payments, NBA, going early. I think what the G League is doing is they're trying to help themselves out as well.
I like it.
I do too, but they're trying. I don't know if it's going to be enough, though, because the whole problem is this. The NBA draft used to be you drafted a guy that you thought could help you. Now it's more of who's going to help you in 5 years. You're doing it based on the projected ceiling of a player out there.
Aside from maybe the top three, four players, yeah.
Yeah, especially the youngsters that are one and done. That average 6 points a game, 5 rebounds, but you can see that they have talent, and if you go out there and develop it, they're going to be good in 3 or 4 years. Well, do they sit on your bench, and then you get the next batch in, and sometimes they get lost in the shuffle, and they got nowhere to go. Some of them go off to Europe and do well. But the G League can be helped, and I think the whole thing can be helped as a minor league system, a little bit in the form of Major League Baseball, mm-hmm. what they're having. Just get those guys down there and get them playing basketball. And I think it can be helped, but there's a lot of things that need to be fixed.
David and Hudson on the text line. I hope Bill Self doesn't have to ask how to delete those messages. Hashtag Urban Meyer.
Hashtag Urban out there. By the way, we have a poll question. It is concerning the Big 12 Media Day today. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, located on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and right next to the Home Depot with Mr. Self.
Go to KGYMRadio.com and access this. Who do you favor to win the Big 12 men's basketball title, Kansas or the field? I thought you were going to throw the FBI in there, Scott.
I didn't. I kicked it around, but yeah.
Kansas has won how many straight?
Well, we'll
15,
find.
15, maybe?
It's teens. It's teens, and they're favored to win another one. And, yeah, number one in the country coming in the first AP college basketball poll. So go ahead and vote KGYMradio.com. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk to Kevin Lehman live from Big 12 Media Days. Some Iowa State news coming out today as far as one of the star players for the Cyclones. We'll ask Kevin about that and get his thoughts on Big 12 men's basketball. Plus, he was at Drake Men's Basketball Media Day yesterday in Des Moines for new coach Darren DeVries. We'll ask him about that. It's Gym Class for Wednesday coming your way on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Coors Light, established in 1978 and born in the Rockies, where the only thing more refreshing than your current adventure is what's next. It's why Coors Light is lagered cold for a lighter, crisper taste. Filtered cold to ensure brilliance, clarity, and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve nothing less than the world's most refreshing beer. Coors Light. 2018 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Doing HVAC work has given you some good opportunities. Now, how about an even better one? Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is looking to represent residential commercial HVAC workers. Being with 263 means you're part of the union, and union jobs offer better pay, better benefits, and better job security. Those are things that mean a better life, using the skills you already have. Work with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263. Give Rick a call at 319-721-9414. 319-721-9414.
Back with you here on the Gym Class on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. World Series Game 2 coming up tonight, as it'll be the Red Sox taking on the Dodgers. Boston leading that series 1-0. And down to Big 12 Men's Basketball Media Day, where things certainly got a little rambunctious a little bit earlier on this afternoon. We find Kevin Lehman, who joins us here on the Wednesday edition of the show. And Kevin, everyone found Bill Self real quick today, didn't they?
Well, Scott, the lineup at his table was about 10 deep, because they wanted to talk about the findings of possibly 90,000 being funneled to Sylvia DeSosa, who they declared temporarily ineligible yesterday. They will not play him Friday in an opening exhibition. But as true to form, as you know, Bill was not allowed to talk about that case because of the ongoing FBI investigation and the trial in New York City.
Well, the verdict came in Manhattan today, Kevin. I don't know if you've had time to digest it fully, but I don't know if you'd call it a win for college basketball, but certainly wasn't a loss.
Well, I did. I've been tied up in those interviews. What was the verdict that came in?
Found on the side of basically college basketball, and said the Adidas executives who funneled the money, apparently funneled money to players, were at fault, and college basketball programs were the victim.
Yeah, I would have to take some time to digest that verdict. College basketball coaches are now the victim of getting great players funneled to them by their shoe company deals.
Isn't that interesting?
Don't you think, Mark?
Yes, I do. I mean,
that's why when I asked when I asked Coach Self, is it okay if I stop over to practice, he was all smiles and said, yeah, come on over. We'll be going at 4 o'clock.
Where does this all end, Kevin? I know there's two more trials and perhaps an NCAA investigation. Where do you think it all ends?
Well, the NCAA, I believe, they're sitting back and letting the FBI do the work for them. But at some point, we're going to have to hear some words out of that office, and because, you know, giving offering someone money to play by a shoe company is not necessarily an NCAA, or is it a federal crime? That's always been a question. But the NCAA, are you offering inducements? And I know there's Kansas assistance involved. Name came up in the money being exchanged to Sosa's mother. I don't know, Mark. It's you know, a lot of people say this is a small percentage of this is going on in college basketball. And when you talk to the other 9 coaches in the Big 12, they don't really think it has a big impact on what's going to happen because of such a minority of players that are actually involved in this.
How widespread is it, do you think, Kevin? You said a small minority. Of course, Iowa and Iowa State have deals with Nike, respectively, I believe, and you know, how deep does it go, or is it just the upper crust of college basketball?
Well, I really think it's the upper crust because you're looking at players that are going to have NBA contracts. And, you know, look at a number of first-round draft picks that don't make it in the NBA. So you're looking at very elite few that, and let's say if you're a shoe company, you know, you're investing in the future that this young man's going to wear your shoe in the NBA for great visibility and basically for advertisement. So you're going to pick and choose, if you're going to funnel some money, who it's going to be to. So I think it's a very select few. You know, Bob Huggins said, you know, this doesn't affect me because I don't recruit those players. Those aren't the guys that I can get to West Virginia. And a lot of these other coaches are saying the same thing, Kansas State, Bruce Weber. You know, they're not recruiting the upper echelon. You're talking about teams like Kansas, like Duke, like Louisville is involved in this, and some of those programs, Arizona and so forth.
Well, yeah, and you talked about the fact that a Kansas assistant may have known what was, or whatever the case may be, had some background information on it anyway, which is what makes me scratch my head and wonder how in the world they can say that the college basketball teams are the victims in this situation. The coaching staffs and the programs, they know what is going on. They know what is going on.
But to be successful, to play at the championship level, you've got to have great players. Any coach will tell you that that is by far the most important ingredient. And, you know, Villanova, Scott, is kind of, to me, has been a breath of fresh air in college basketball because they're doing it with guys that have been in the program 4 or 5 years versus the route Kentucky has taken with the one-and-done. Duke has had to go that way also with one-and-dones. If you look at Kansas roster now, they've got 3 guys that sat out last year, 2 from Memphis, the Lawson brothers, and 1 from California that's going to make an instant impact on them. So they're dealing with transfers. They're dealing with one and done. So it's different than what we're seeing at Iowa, what we're seeing what Villanova did to win national championships. But I think that is a breath of fresh air, what the Villanova Wildcats have been able to do with the traditional way of building the team.
Real simple question, Kevin. Can any team unseat Kansas this year in the Big 12?
Well, I think when I last talked to you, I thought the only one that could do it would be Adidas Shoe and the FBI, and it looks like they may be clear of that. I am going to go watch them practice here in about 45 minutes. When you talk to Big 12 coaches, they all say it's Kansas, and there's a huge separation before you get to Kansas State, West Virginia, that are selected 2 and 3 in that preseason poll. So they are really, really talented. But on a national scale, preseason number 1, as Bill Self says, you know, this is October. Those things don't mean a whole lot until you actually lace them up and go to war and see what your faults are.
You mentioned 2 of the teams that are going to be nipping at the heels of the Jayhawks, and that would be West Virginia and then what Kansas State did last year in the tournament was pretty remarkable. Didn't have a, you know, stand on your ear type of season down in Manhattan, but what Coach Weber did in the tournament Well, let's turn up the temperature a little bit in Manhattan. Now they're expecting things to happen for the Wildcats. The other team I think that's going to be in there, we'll get to Iowa State in a moment, but TCU is healthy again. And Coach Dixon has got a good roster down there for the Horned Frogs.
Well, that's a team that's really moved up since Jamie Dixon took over that program at TCU. You know, and they're fighting injuries again. Most of these coaches have injuries here in October. Jalen Fisher is out right now. But they return a very talented backcourt with Fisher and Alex Robinson. And we saw some of these guys when they played Iowa at NIT 2 years ago. And none of those players are still with that program. So, yeah, TCU is one that's probably pretty solid in fourth place when you look at these programs. And, you know, Kansas State, they were 10-8 in the Big 12 and end up in the Elite Eight. So they're the team that Loyola beat. But Kansas State returns all five starters. There's a lot of buzz about this Kansas State team. And I'm going to get to see them in person because they're in the Paradise Jam here in the Virgin Islands along with Northern Iowa. So I got a chance to talk to some of those players and Bruce Weber about their expectations. There's a lot of buzz, though, in Manhattan. But still, are they good enough? This is a team that went Elite Eight that Kansas beat three times last year.
Some news out of the Iowa State camp, sort of, I guess. Cameron Lard may miss some time for unspecified reasons. I don't know if you know any more than that, Kevin, but we do know that Lard spent some time in a wellness center in the off season, and Cyclones can ill afford to lose him for any length of time, I think.
Well, we talked, Mark, a lot about Lindell Wigington and Nick Weiler-Babb. But when I watched them practice, Cameron Lard has got a special ability to get the ball off the backboard at the offensive end, the defensive end. And he has put on some really good weight, upper body strength. I mean, I was very impressed watching him. But when he goes to defensive end, he seems to have some lapses. He is being withheld now for disciplinary reasons. They're also a little banged up. Salomon Young's going to be out for the whole first semester on a groin injury. And he's their enforcer inside. And Jaran Talley still coming back from a broken nose. So Steve Plum said this is the most injuries that he's fought in a preseason camp. Mm-hmm. So he has not had everybody there. He talked highly about their freshman, Horton Tucker, and also there's still a buzz about Tyrese Halliburton going to help him out in the backcourt.
Kevin Lehman joining us from Big 12 Media Day here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. One of the teams to ask you about, Texas and Shaka Smart. When Texas landed Shaka Smart coming off of VCU and coming off of what he did there, everyone thought the sky was the limit. And Texas has shown a few flashes, but they haven't gotten there on a consistent basis. Is there starting to be some heat on the seat there for Coach Smart down in Austin?
Well, you know how the system works. You get a new AD, your seat may get a little hot. And Texas has a new athletic director in Chris Del Conte. And he came from TCU and hired Jamie Dixon. So there's something to watch there. But Texas has not had good guard play in the last couple of years. They've had some frontline players. You know, Bo Bamba was a first-round pick. They've got Jericho Sims is going to come back this year and kind of man the middle for him. But their guard play has to improve. This is a team that's picked fourth or fifth in the Big 12. You know, the Big 12 has consistently had 7 of their 10 members in the NCAA tournament. So when you're getting picked fourth or fifth in this league, it's a pretty good chance you're going to end up in that field of 68. But I'm kind of with you on Shaka Smart. We thought he'd do some great things down there. Just kind of been a very average program that Texas has now. Because remember back a few years ago, Rick Barnes, the last couple of years, they were the team that was going to challenge Kansas. They had some big battles with Kansas, and then they kind of dropped off the map, especially since Barnes has left and went to Tennessee, and he's really got that program going at Tennessee.
Kevin, we know you ducked your head into Drake Basketball Media Day, and I think a lot of curiosity surrounding what Darian DeVries might do there at Drake, not only this season, but going forward. And speak to that. And also curious where you think Iowa graduate transfer Brady Ellingson fits in there.
Well, they love Brady Ellingson. You know, Matt Gaten's, the other former Hawkeyes on the staff there. I visited with Matt a little bit. He said Brady is shooting at lights out. They're going to strictly play him at that shooting guard spot. Because at Iowa, he had to play some backup point guard. And it kind of, I thought it really messed with his psyche as a shooter. They really like what Brady's bringing to the table. Nick Norton, their other graduate transfer from UAB, they're pretty solid in the backcourt, Mark. But the concern with Drake is they don't have frontline depth. Nick McGlynn, they've got a freshman 7-footer who they really like. That's not a Davenport assumption that he was hurt. Leon Roberts, and he's a guy that lost 60 pounds. He's 7'2", 235. No one heard about him. He's really progressed well. They get him healthy, give him a little more frontline strength. But if you talk to Darren DeVries and Matt Gaines, I think their goal is they want to get to 500 this first year in the Valley, and they'll feel like they can do that. They've had a huge success.
Yeah, you've been kind of taking your trip around the Missouri Valley Conference so far. And what has surprised you? What have you seen so far?
Yeah, it's been fun. You know, Loyola, they have such a great culture there. They practice so hard, do a great job of moving the basketball. So, you know, I think there are 26 in the AP poll. But Loyola has a matchup with Nevada, who's top 10, a rematch of that NCAA game. That's going to be coming up here, I think, in late November. So that will kind of tell us where Loyola's at. Illinois State has loads of talent, Scott. I mean, they are a good-looking team. And, of course, Summit, I haven't been down there yet, but they got five starters back. Bradley's got four starters back. 7-foot-1 freshman that they think will be an NBA player. He's hurt right now. And I also went to Northern Iowa. Now, there's some new life up there with A.J. Green in that backcourt at Northern Iowa. That may be the sleeper team in the Valley to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and UNI gets things going this weekend. They play an exhibition game, so they're getting going for real.
Well, everybody has. Kansas has an exhibition game on Friday, so they told me when I go to watch practice, I have to walk through all the players, all the students. They're camping out at Allen Fieldhouse, and my question was, so they camp out for an exhibition game to get in there? And, yes, they do. So that's a different life over there in Kansas. They're all starting getting going. There's been those private scrimmages that everyone already knows about, the secret double probation scrimmages that we all know the scores of for some reason. Most teams have had those, so they get a little taste of where their teams are at right now. And I think everybody's kind of anxious to play a real game.
Yeah, they are. Iowa State played Nebraska in one of those scrimmages last weekend. So,
yeah, I think they've got Wisconsin coming up as their next scrimmage. And Drake was going to play South Dakota State in Omaha this weekend.
There you go. Super secret scrimmages. I like that.
Yeah. It's funny, Scott, because we end up getting the scores. And we actually have the box scores. And Coach Tome told me to score that game and who played well. It's kind of a real odd thing. They're supposed to be secret, but we all know about it.
Might as well charge to get in, Kevin.
And let's go back to charging and give the money to a charity.
There you go.
Yeah. So we can play scrimmages between good teams, but we can't play regular season games. Go figure.
That's a great one. Yeah, I mean, Iowa State, Nebraska, we would have paid money to watch that game.
Darn right. A lot of people would have. All right, Kevin. Hey, appreciate the time, and we're getting down to it where we'll talk weekly. So looking forward to it, and have fun at Big 12 Media Day.
Yeah, so am I, and I'm going to go watch the Jayhawks practice. So I'll give a report on the number one ranked team of the country.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, thanks, guys.
3:38, Kevin Lehman joining us from Big 12 Media Day here today. We're going to take a break, come back. The questions are starting to pile up for Chris Liss of Protowire.com. Get yours in at 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
on this episode of The World's Shortest Sitcom by KFC. Like I always say, it's the inside that counts. Aww. Like what's inside my new KFC 10-piece chicken feast. It's 10 pieces of chicken, 2 large mashed potatoes, and 4 biscuits for $19.99. Get more meal for the family for under $20. That's what really matters. It's pretty incredible what chicken can teach you about life. Anyways, KFC, it's finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Imagine your dream carpet installed for free. The Home Depot offers all-inclusive installation on minimum purchases of $699. That's removal of your old carpet, basic furniture moving, and stairs, so the dream carpet you want comes at the price you were expecting. Free carpet installation that's actually free. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid only on showroom carpet price. $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
A dead battery can leave you stranded, so get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Need a replacement? Purchase a Superstart Extreme or Superstart Platinum battery and get up to $25 in O'Reilly gift cards after a mail-in rebate. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
.341 back with you on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, Jeff Johnson will join us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Plenty to talk about with Jeff. We'll talk Iowa High School football playoff round one. We'll talk some Rough Riders, Iowa Hawkeye football as well as Jeff covering that for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. So that'll be coming up tomorrow. Plus, Dave Koken will join us from Las Vegas coming up tomorrow. The fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Joining us right now, with the help of I'm On Communications, is Chris Liss of RotoWire.com. And if you have a question for Chris, go ahead and get in line, 319-366-1600. That's the Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line. You can also reach us at 319-366-1600 as far as the phone lines are concerned. And Chris, how are you on this Wednesday?
I'm doing well. I actually had a great fantasy week last week, but I had a horrible gambling against the spread week, 10-1. And I'm still not recovered from it. It was really depressing. And again, my fantasy team did great, but there's always something. It's very hard for everything to go right in a given weekend.
Well, you can't win the Mega Millions and the Powerball in the same week. I mean, it's just, that's the way it goes, man.
No, but I already spent the money, Scott. That's the problem.
Scott mentioned the line is formed on the text line, so let's get started there, Chris. 708 area code. Pick up one in a standard league. Geronimo Allison, Traquan Smith, or Jordy Nelson?
Wow. Man, that is very close. Standard league, I'll gamble with Traquan Smith.
8258, is there any hope for an Aaron Jones breakout against the Rams?
There's hope, but it's, you know, here's the thing. It's not only that he has to play well, he has to have Mike McCarthy commit to him. And so you're speculating on two things, not just how well he'll play against a tough defense, although the Seahawks did run roughshod over them a couple weeks ago, but you need the coach to call his number. And so far, McCarthy's just splitting it up. So it's possible, but not likely.
A question that many people are facing, including our own Scott Unash, bye week blues, Beathard, Manning, or Keenum, assuming his job is safe now?
I think Keenum's job is safe. It's great when your backup gets arrested and then cut. That's the best thing that can happen to you. I would go with Keenum against the Chiefs. Shoot it out.
Yeah, and it's usually a shootout. 79-66, what do I do with Diggs and Cook? He's in a 10-team, or she is in a 10-team non-PPR. They have Stafford at quarterback. Would you try to trade for Matt Ryan or another quarterback or roll with Stafford? He's got Barkley, Chubb, Ingram, Cook, and Smallwood to try and trade with.
Yeah, I think you're fine with Stafford. I know he's been kind of modest this year, but you know, I think you could easily end up trading Stafford for a Matt Ryan or a Cousins, and then Stafford's the better quarterback in the rest of the way. So I would hold tight with Stafford and keep the depth at those positions that you have.
1288 asks, half-point PPR, Golden Tate or Collins in the flex?
Half-point PPR. Lions play the Seahawks. Ravens are at Carolina. I think I'd probably go Alex Collins.
91-36 is Martavis Bryant, the go-to receiver in Oakland now. Didn't know they had one, but or does Jared Cook hold more value?
We don't really know. I think Cook is safer because he's already been integrated in the offense. But and it would be great if the Raiders just said, screw it. You know, we're done. We've traded away our whole team. Let's just chuck it deep to Martavis Bryant, see what he can do. So I'm definitely acquiring shares of Martavis Bryant. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I think there's upside there at least.
1954 is in a half-point PPR league. Wants to know at tight end, Njoku or Burton?
Both are good. I guess, man, that is close. I guess I'll go Njoku, but it's 50-50.
Now, this can't be a serious question, Chris, but I'll read it anyway, 43-32. Roethlisberger, Breeze, or Rodgers? Are you serious?
I've been a lot of quarterbacks. I think I would take Rodgers. I just think this is a good setup to have a shootout. I mean, Breeze, too, would be pretty good, but he's on the road. So I think I would take Rodgers trying to keep up with the Rams.
Chris has a trade proposal for you, Chris. Melvin Gordon and Diggs for Freeman, Thielen, and Hyde.
Freeman's out for the year. It's Devonta Freeman. So it would be Gordon and Diggs for Thielen and Hyde. I'd rather have the Gordon-Diggs side of it. I mean, I love Thielen, but Gordon should be back after the bye.
I'm all in on Adam Thielen now. I was skeptical, but I'm all in on him.
He's the number one guy. You got to pay up full price, Scott.
Yeah, 98-58. Would you pick up Julian Edelman?
Yeah, I would pick him up if I needed a receiver.
48-15. Start Cam Newton or Andy Dalton?
I would start Dalton against the Bucks.
42-53, Mahomes or Breeze? And what do I do with Bell? I also have Connor.
Yeah, I feel like Mahomes is like an auto start, and Breeze is on the road, although he could end up in a shootout. But I go Mahomes. And what's the other one? Le'Veon Bell?
What to do with Le'Veon Bell? He also has Connor.
Just keep starting Connor and hope that when Bell, if and when Bell does come back, they don't split the carries.
12:50 Bears deep. Yeah. 12:50 Bears defense versus Jets or Texans defense versus the Dolphins?
Wow, that's a tough one. I like them both so much. It's like two of the top three defenses this week. I don't know. Go with your gut. I mean, the Thursday night can be a disaster. We saw last week, so maybe I take the Texans. Both good options.
79-66, Kittle or Burton?
I will go Kittle.
97-61 wants to know your thoughts about Nick Chubb the rest of the season.
Doesn't catch any passes, and in PPR that limits his upside, but should be the early down guy all the time and get lots of carries and get the goal line work too.
93-55, are any of the Raider running backs worth picking up in a standard league?
Probably not, but if you need a running back, go and get Doug Martin. Jalen Richard will be the third down guy.
Assuming Latavius Murray starts, Murray or Chubb in a half-point PPR?
They both have tough matchups, but I will go Murray at home.
We haven't had our first Amari Cooper
question.
We
have not. I thought this was going to be the Amari Cooper hour.
What about that? What do you think about the trade, Chris, fantasy-wise?
I mean, they paid a lot, you know, first-round pick for a guy who's been struggling the last year and a half. But you know, Cooper's only 24, and he was good right out of college. He's probably still good enough. The Raiders were a dysfunctional franchise. It's not crazy. I think they overpaid. I think he's worth a second rounder, not a first rounder. But they're going for it, and we'll see. I mean, they finally got something out of the passing game last week. They bottled up Zeke, but Michael Gallup is now Michael Trott because he's not going to get as many targets. I'll say that basically, you know, Beasley will be the slot guy. Hurns and Gallup will be kind of the 3-4, and Cooper should be the number one guy. Just one caveat, though. Midseason trades with receivers often don't work because it's much harder for a receiver to get the timing with the quarterback and learn the system than it is for, say, a running back or a defensive player. So just, you know, don't have to manage your expectations a little bit with Cooper.
97-61 wants to know, is Allen Robinson ever going to become a consistent enough to be a weekly starter?
The answer is I don't know. I don't think Trubisky's very good. I think he's thrown a lot to Tariq Cohen and Trey Burton because those are, you know, the check down back and the tight end are the easy throws. I don't think Trubisky has it to throw the deep outs. And I mean, he's got an arm to do it. I just don't think he has the touch and the timing to really connect with Allen Robinson and the downfield receivers. So it's possible. He's still young and Robinson's first year there, but I don't think he's going to be consistent this year.
Scott's red-hot team needs a quarterback, and it's not going to be Blake Bortles, who I chose the one-week guy.
Are you on a bye week?
Yes, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and Calvin Ridley. The Falcons are on a bye week this week, which is not boding well for me. Alex Smith and Beth are the top two guys, I think. What do you think, Alex Smith?
Can you get Keenum, Scott?
I can get Keenum, yes.
Yeah, his backup just got arrested and cut, and they get the Chiefs. You know, I mean, the Chiefs defense played better against Cincinnati. Cincinnati was an embarrassing game plan they had. But I think that, you know, division rivals, I think Denver will show up, and you know the Chiefs are going to score 27 or whatever at home minimum. I mean, it's good defense. I think Keenum's going to have to, you know, throw a couple touchdowns. He may turn it over, but I like Keenum this week.
98-58, would you consider trading Beckham for a good running back, as the Giants are having a fire sale?
I love Beckham, and you're asking the wrong guy, but it'd have to be a pretty darn good running back. I mean, it's Beckham for Melvin Gordon, Beckham for Alvin Kamara. Okay, yeah, I could see that if you need a running back, but I'm not trading him for Jordan Howard. I'm not trading him for Joe Mixon, I'll tell you that much.
Well, the receivers and Eli got their numbers last week, but the Giants didn't get the W.
That is correct, Mark. I'm well aware.
That wasn't a dig.
Was a frustrating game. What's that?
That wasn't a dig. I'm sorry.
No, I'm kidding. I know you weren't. I know you're just commenting. But basically, Eli's terrible. I mean, he got the one touchdown and 5 seconds left. And he looked like a 90-year-old man trying to run the quarterback sneak. And I don't mean that as an insult. I'm sure that's insulting to 90-year-olds because they probably would do a better job than Eli did. It was just, you know, he throws behind Saquon Barkley every single time. He made a couple nice downfield throws, but, you know, he didn't get rid of the ball. He took some sacks where you're like, just get rid of it, Eli. Just get rid of it. Can't you see you're going to get sacked? Yeah, they got their numbers, but, you know, when you score, basically, you know, they scored 20, but it was really 13 because they got, you know, it was really 12 before the meaningless 8 that they got at the end. They covered the spread at least, thank God. But it was mostly like just cosmetic numbers. The actual underlying performance wasn't good.
44-20 here, Chris. Pick two running backs, if you would, please. You mentioned Doug Martin a little bit earlier on. Doug Martin, Chris Thompson, Ronald Jones, or Raheem Mostert?
I guess I'm going Doug Martin and who's the third one?
Ronald Jones.
Yeah, he may start because Peyton Barber's actually banged up. I'll go Martin and Mostert. But it's, you know, these are total rolls of the dice.
Did you comment in any of your blogs about the fact that maybe NFL coaches need to be mathematicians these days?
I did talk about it, about the going for two. And, you know, there's a big, no, those stat heads don't know anything. I actually agree sometimes the stat heads overstep their bounds. I don't think the stat heads have mastered the NFL draft. That's a much more complex situation, and it's not blackjack. And it's not, you know, poker. It's not, you know, dice. It's very complex. But in things like going for two, it is more like that. It's more just game theory. And I think the stat heads are right about the going for two. And it's very simple, right? There's, even if you have a 45% chance of getting it on the first try, that's it. That's all you need, 45%. You get it, and you kick the extra point. The second time, you win the game. Now, the only way it goes wrong is if you miss it twice. Because if you miss the first and make the second, it's just like kicking the extra points. So it's either you get it and you win the game with 45%, or you miss twice, 55 times 55, that's 30%. So you got 45% to win, 30% to lose. The 25 in the middle sends you to overtime anyway. Of course you're going to take 45 to win and 30 to lose over 50-50 in overtime. Of course you're going to take the edge. So always go for two if you're down 14 and get the touchdown. It's the right math, and I don't think it's that controversial.
Great points. 91-36, get a couple more texts in here. Is Fournette worthless for the rest of the season?
I have him in two leagues, and I'm very bitter about it. But, I mean, we don't know. I mean, he should be back after the bye in week 10. They're playing. He's probably not playing this week, and then they got a bye in week 9. And week 10, he's supposed to be back. So he's back. So he starts. They got Hyde now. That's a real pain. They got so frustrated they traded for Hyde. Who knows? But the hard guy to drop.
0-7-8-9 needs two in a non-PPR. Robert Woods, Michael Thomas, and Antonio Brown.
I mean, I love Robert Woods, but I got to go Michael Thomas, Antonio Brown.
John and Tiff and Roethlisberger or Breeze?
I would go and Roethlisberger at home, Breeze on the road.
20-30, Russell Wilson.
I'm going to go Breeze.
Breeze?
I'm going to go Breeze.
You're going Breeze there, okay.
Yeah.
20-30, Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston?
I would go, that is tough also. I'll go Russell Wilson on a hunch.
Last text for you, Chris, 1541. Bears or Eagles D?
Oof, Eagles get the Jaguars, Bears get the Jets. I'll say the Bears, but both good options.
Is Perry okay now with Seattle again in their backfield?
You mean Penny?
Or Penny, Penny, I'm sorry, Penny, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing with him. You know, they got some, finally got some carries a couple weeks ago and looked good. Chris Carson's there. I don't know. But I think, obviously, you want to pick him up and find out. I mean, they used a first-round pick on him.
I cannot take sabermetrics getting into football now. I'm not saying.
Oh, yeah. It already is too far into baseball. Football's still 20 years behind baseball now. It makes you feel better.
Chris, tell us about rotowire.com.
If you enjoy this segment, you can get a lot more of it. Get all your answers, your questions answered for this week's start sit. Rotowire.com/trial. It is a free 10-day trial. You do not need a credit card. You will not be charged for 10 days again. And if you don't want to pay, you'll never pay. We don't even have your information. Rotowire.com/trial.
All right. Hey, Chris, best of luck this weekend with everything.
Thanks. You guys too.
All right. Chris Liss, Rotowire.com. His appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications. We need to get to our favorite topic, one of them anyway, and that is Bowling Night in America. Bowling Night in America preview brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. We're both sitting this week.
We are. We're on the shelf.
Well, and, we're not on the shelf, but...
No, we're not in the lineup week. And sabermetrics being what they are in bowling, I think it's
The numbers did not pan out that Mark and I should be bowling this week.
Based on yesterday's conversation, this is for you, Gary Dolphin. Rusty Nails, 16-12 on the air, fifth place in the adult Evergreen League. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, boys. We're only three games out of first. Facing Quaker Oats tonight, a new team in the league, but some familiar faces. Lanes 21 and 22. Rusty Nails trying to get it done in week 8.
Expect a full report from those bowling tonight after the festivities. Tomorrow's festivities, Jeff Johnson and Dave Kochen will join us. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That is coming your way next right here on KGYM. Game 2 of the World Series coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. Have a great night. Enjoy the baseball. Talk to you tomorrow.
We were naive about all things money.
And we maybe put money into places and paid things that we thought were the most